You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio!
Over the next 9 months, Carousel Radio is presenting 3 exciting seasons of spoken word and sound. In this month's show, we have the second drama from our Tales from Unreality season.
Tales from Unreality.
A series of 3 radio plays exploring sci-fi and magical realism themes, written and acted by learning disabled artists. This month's drama, Destroyed From Within, was written by Sam Castellawood as part of Carousel's Writer's Room project.
Carousel Radio!
Carousel Radio!
You are listening to Carousel Radio!
Carousel Radio!
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 Welcome to the show!
Hello, this is Jenny. I organised a group with others earlier this year to try and do something about the offence of plants eating people. Here are our accounts of finding out about these events and trying to get the truth out there. 23rd of March 2030. I was starving. How much energy did I have to go on? I wouldn't give up. I survived. That's what I did. I stole, took what I could and used it. I didn't have the luxury of a choice. Not if I want to keep on breathing. That's what it's like for people like me. We weren't given houses as gifts or given the wealth that gets you where you want to be, into any job that pays your bills and enough to spend on extra stuff. Well, those people have a lot of extra stuff and we're in need. So we took everything we could and still hope we wouldn't starve or die or get caught. It wasn't worth daring to think what would happen if you got caught. You needed the energy to stay focused on getting what you could or you wouldn't have survived here. One day I was sneaking into someone's flat. I thought I might get caught. I hid at the back. Someone went down to open a can. I saw them eating some tinned vegetables. But then the chewing stopped. I heard retching and a sound of tearing. I thought I can hear biting. This person started to fall to the floor. I saw bits of blood and bits of leaf were coming from their wounds. They were being eaten. I was frozen in fear as I saw more of the person disappear and more of the plant emerge. The plant looked bigger than the person did and it seemed to be looking towards me. I felt the massive scream going through me before I finally screamed out loud as I broke out the trance I was in and I felt I was about to run away. I went out the flat and down the street as fast as I could. I went into someone. They were annoyed and looked back at me and frowned as I ran to my flat in panic. As soon as I got in, I lifted my laptop screen looking for other cases. I was sure I saw a giant plant eating a human. After a few minutes, I found 5 stories of the same thing happening on people's blogs and illegal news websites. These were the incidents I heard about from the national news. Only the national news left out the bits about plants eating people. Instead, they were about people going missing, chemical explosions or natural disasters. I found more and more accounts of this happening. I wouldn't leave this alone until I spread the truth, until the world knew what was happening.
This is Douglas. I'm a naturalist exploring events on this planet, which I've been doing for more decades than I care to remember. I came to discover this phenomenon as part of my endeavours delving into how much corruption there is in this field of work, of study, that I have come to love for so much of my existence. 13th of April, 2030. It's ghastly how this field we've studied on this earth for centuries has been taken over by the interests of those with money, not a passion for what we seek, to find out more about this fascinating planet. All of my colleagues, those who are still with us, they drifted away. Those who put the answers we seek from this world first, well, they all seem to disappear. I always knew something was wrong, but when I mentioned it, I was always hushed, always told to keep quiet, to not make things worse. What was going on? I also knew there was something going on, and I'm damned if I'm going to let the answers sink away for the remaining years I have left. There aren't many more of us who were there to ever see the controls inflicted on our work, and I don't trust those that are still there to try and do anything, even if they do live long enough. No, it must be me who looks into this dreadful business, this butchering of our beloved profession. I will find out about these goings-on soon enough. Why must humanity destroy the world in the name of a few more coins that won't be here when the world is destroyed and us with it? Sadly, to find this out, I may have to use Talkspace, that young person's resource. But we're all on it, and it can prove to be useful. If you can ignore all the pictures of people's breakfasts and the other ways people use it to waste time. On this tedious social media platform, I did endeavour to find what you couldn't find anywhere else. Somewhere where any thought could be broadcast, from entering things like plants and different types of beings into the search bar. I found a Talkspace group that caught my attention. The group was titled Plants Eating People, A Hidden Truth. And after clicking on it, I read the most recent posts and it all came together. The disaster in Brazil, the accident in America, all the events that had seemed sketchy when the news had reported them were trying to hide something far more sinister. I typed the message and sent it to the group, detailing my experience in the field, as well as my eagerness to uncover the truth, and within minutes saw a reply from the group's moderator, Jenny. Jenny told me what she knew and I spoke of my anger at colleagues and superiors I worked with, keeping certain things that were deemed too disturbing for public knowledge secret, in order to protect the hierarchy and the profit they made and planned to continue to make. This all seemed to make sense to her, and it was as if those who wrote the news content were working for the government and the businesses and other countries they worked with. No wonder they didn't want people to know the dark truth about the food we were sold in our trade deal with America. We now knew that the news service, the government, and anyone else who made large profits from our leading corporate giants would hide the truth at any cost. No wonder they didn't want people to know the dark truth about the food we were sold in our trade deal with America. We now knew that the news service, the government, and anyone else who made large profits from our leading corporate giants would hide the truth at any cost.
I'm Stacey. I was studying biology at uni when this happened. At the time, I just needed a distraction from all the transphobic abuse I was getting. Not that I don't get any now. 1st of May 2030. I was up late at night looking through Talkspace, trying to get my head into clicking off the site and focusing on this essay for uni I was struggling to finish, when I saw this group saying it was looking into this phenomenon of plants eating people. I'd wondered about that and thought we hadn't been told everything. Plus, it was refreshing to see something that wasn't a group or a post about hating trans women like me. So I clicked on it. I could never sleep at night with all the posts on Talkspace and other social media plus all the news articles, all of them calling me a man in a dress, saying I'm an abomination, saying my gender's not real. I was so scared to go to sleep and face another day, feeling scared I'd get beaten to death like all those other trans women before me, that I just stayed up all I could until I'd wake up at the keyboard, hoping the night wasn't over and that I wouldn't have to leave the flat and face all the hateful remarks and the danger of violence that I got everywhere my physical presence could be seen. I had to just stay up, looking at social media and other stuff on the net. But this group, it was something different. It didn't make me feel hated, like I was going to be beaten to a bloody pulp, just for being different. It made me feel I could know something and contribute without even leaving the flat. This was something I needed so bad, especially when I couldn't focus on uni work while I was so petrified all the time, except when I looked at this group and it engulfed me. I felt wonder. I felt a sense of purpose. I had to get involved. I typed a message offering any help I could give. I waited in wonder. I left the conversation box open and saw within minutes someone was typing. It's Stacey here, 4th of May 2030. I worked with Jenny and Douglas talking through an anonymous frequency I recommended to try and avoid being tracked by Talkspace or other media. We found out the cover-ups go to the top of the most powerful governments in the world, led by the President of the United States, with Britain being the third in charge, just a pawn, clearly being left out of the loop. This was so obvious from afar, but the UK government's arrogance always made them oblivious to it. We made more discoveries from researching on the net, including when some cans got knocked open when being transported and went missing. Those in charge didn't even have to put any effort into cover-ups anymore.
Hello, it's Douglas here. 16th of May 2030. We finally managed to publicise our message all across Talkspace. We knew the truth would be seen by everyone soon. We waited a few hours for the news to circulate, but nothing. The government seemed to be carrying on as usual. There was no change. There was still nothing until we saw the evening's news broadcasts, and there was this brief mention of conspiracy theorists, by which they meant us.
In other news today, there's been a surge in conspiracy theories, with a group on Talkspace spreading the idea of there being super plants that eat people. Before you take salad off your shopping list, let us inform you that the Prime Minister's office assures us that these accusations are complete fiction and says the real cause for concern is people getting their news from social media.
All our work and all the corruption that caused people death and the cover-ups we'd exposed were reported as conspiracy theories. Over the next few days, the media did features on conspiracies, associating our findings with people with as little credibility as anti-vaxxers and those who shared reptilian theories, newsreaders and politicians who were to blame for the deaths and the lies were laughing at our findings, turning them into a big joke. It was sickening. How could we not have seen this coming? By posting on a platform like Talkspace, we were inviting ridicule from those who are label our findings as ridiculous conspiracies. Now we knew we may never be listened to. The information would never be taken seriously if the most influential news services could so easily tell people not to believe it. They could just tell them what they should think, just as they always did. It was helpless. It wasn't over. I'd seen this happen far too often, and we weren't going to let it happen again. In what may have been my last chance to override the corruption that had carried on for so many years.
It's Jenny, 6th of June 2030. I checked the Talkspace group. There were more than 70 people getting in touch. Someone mentioned the only way to get enough people was to get heard in the media. We had to find a way. Stacey has some hacking skills. She got into the system they used to write the news. She changed what was written in the presenter's auto cue so they'd tell the truth. Stacey also hacked into the planners of guests who were meant to appear on news shows, changing the times people were told to arrive and where they were told to go so we could take their places. We stole smart clothes from shops. You had to look wealthy to be heard. Douglas was a natural fit. He pretended to be an environmental minister. They'd invited onto Great Britain's News at 9.
Good evening. Let me inform you that plants have been eating people. There have been accounts of people being devoured in Brazil, in America, and all over Great Britain. They've been censored, written off as accidents and natural disasters. But let me tell you that the governments of this world's three powerful countries have caused these catastrophes through negligence in the pursuit of money!
We got the truth said. The newsreaders and politicians realised what they're saying too late and people listened. The truth had been heard. Now the outrage will be enough to make a change for the government to be overthrown or to at least have to listen. The security guards beat us and shot us. Douglas didn't make it, but I saw him smile as he died. The cops threw those of us who survived in prison. There's still a lot to be done. America and Brazil need to know what's happening. I hope Stacey recovers. She's our only hope.
Destroyed From Within was written, directed and co-produced by Sam Castell Ward.
Jenny was played by Lisa Smith. Douglas and Newsreader was played by Charlie Hutton. Stacey was played by Eleanor Button. Destroyed From Within is a Carousel Radio production.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Recently, we received an email from Australia. It read, "Hello, my name is Peter. I enjoy listening to the podcast every month. I am a musician too. I'm in a Melbourne band, The Hacketts. I'm a guitarist and a singer-songwriter. Well done." So we called Peter and spoke to him about his band and life in Melbourne. Can you tell us about the band and how it got started?
The band is nearly 30 years old now. That's a pretty big achievement. Yeah, we celebrated 25 years the other year. Originally, the band was a program for people with disabilities and things like that at the Footscray Community Arts Centre in Melbourne. From becoming a program, it became into a proper band. There's one person that has been there right from the start, and that's Stuart. And Victoria, she came just after Stuart did. It's a six-piece at the moment. It has up to 9 people in the past. We've got Andrew, he's our drummer. Joe, who plays the bass, and he's one of our tutors at the Art Centre. We've got Tim, who plays the guitar, and he's the other tutor at the Art Centre. And we've got Victoria, who's got a disability and plays mini keyboard and a singer-songwriter like myself. And Stuart, he's got a disability. He plays guitar and songwrites as well. And I play guitar and songwrite and sing as well. So that's the band all up at the moment.
What musical artists do you like listening to?
I'm more Michael Jackson and middle of the road, and I'm quite wide. I don't like heavy metal and I don't like too much classical. Stuart, he likes Frank Sinatra, Elvis and that type of era. He's more writing near blues type of songs at the moment. Victoria likes punchy, like Bon Jovi, Pink, all those type of musicians. She brings along a punchy attitude to her music and upbeat.
Can you tell us about Footscray Community Arts Centre and its Arts Life programme?
We have the old building, which is a historic building. The area used to be a piggery. It's down by the river. It's got a lot of life into it. They do a lot of things there. It's pretty much a big arts centre. There's activities called the Art Life Program for people with disabilities. And there's also other artists that have exhibitions and things like that, which is really, really interesting.
What are the band's plans for the future?
We're going to be bringing out a album, actually. Some of these songs were just left there for 2 years. No one did anything on them or anything. We've been workshopping names. At the moment, we think it's going to be called So Far, So Good. We won a grant to do the recording. At the Footscray Community Arts Centre, there was actually a little recording studio, so we did it in there. We got it mastered from Jonathan Burnside in America. It really sounds good. We're a very happy group. We don't sing any depressing songs. We try and keep it upbeat and as light as possible. We're hoping to maybe one day in the future travel overseas.
Can you tell us about your new animated video for the Hackett song I Love to Travel, please?
I Love to Travel, Stuart wrote it. He'd been overseas with groups before, and he's written a few songs about travelling and things like that. The animation, it was done sort of like that TV show South Park. We had a photo session late December last year. So we had to make silly faces and all that sort of stuff. It was really fun. At the Art Centre, we've got a group that actually does animation, but they were busy on their project, so we had to outsource it to Todd Watts, his name is, and he's done an excellent job. I Love to Travel is a good song. We voted on the song that would be best as a single because a lot of people want to travel and they can't. I Love to Travel would be right in the pocket. This is their new single called I Love to Travel by the Hacketts. I Love to Travel by the Hacketts, out in August.
How have you been affected by the last year of lockdown?
Yeah, we've just come out of another lockdown. Yesterday we had 5 reasons to leave the house. Now that's gone. And yesterday we had a 10 kilometre limit where we could go. And now that's 25 kilometres. So we can travel further. Wear masks everywhere, outside and inside. It's affected the band quite a lot. We've had to go on Zoom. The Art Life participants, they've had to go on Zoom as well for their activities. We're actually meeting up this coming Tuesday at the Art Centre, and where we practice. It has had some restrictions on how many people can be in one room. There used to be 6 people to one room, and then they extended it to 10 people. It's tough, but we're getting through it.
Have you been able to write and rehearse your music over Zoom?
But it's been a bit tricky. We've got to mute everyone else because there can only be one instrument playing at a time, so you can't all play at the same time. The second instrument gets distorted with the first. Very tricky. We just play our parts. We're always writing songs. We wrote about 10 songs while we were on Zoom, actually, so in the future we'll bring them out too. I write songs about situations that happen in my life and things like that. The song from the last album, the self-titled album, Hot Day in February, we were at a festival and the power went out and we still kept on singing, so I wrote about that.
It was a hot day in February. It was time for the beach. Don't be fooled by the weather in Melbourne. In summer it gets quite hot. Nice time for a swim. We don't get to do that.
Can you tell us about type of gigs the Hacketts play?
We've been, over the years, mostly community events, but sometimes we've got bigger than that. We have played in hotels before. Oh, we've played at product launches and various things. The set list depends on how long the performance is. It could be half an hour to 45 minutes a set.
Can you tell us about any other bands with learning disabilities around Melbourne?
There's a band called the Bipolar Bears. They're a Melbourne-based band, and we've been friends with them. There was another band, they're not together anymore, called the Big Bag Band from Geelong, and they were pretty good as well. So, Rudely Interrupted, yes, that's another band we know. They're more like heavy rock. They're still pretty good.
She loves calculus.
Peter, you wrote that you have been listening to the Carousel Radio podcast. I'm glad you've been enjoying it.
I first found out about Carousel through the Oscar Bright Film Festival years ago. Carousel Radio is one of the favourites, one of the favourite podcasts I've heard. And every podcast, I enjoy it because the presenters are happy and it sounds happy and it's just really good. And I like Johnny Schachter's poems as well.
Johnny Wants Superpowers by Johnny Schachter.
That's really good. Well, thank you, Peter. I heard that you enjoyed the first Tales from Unreality radio play.
Oh, it was really good. It had the futuristic story and coming back to Earth and all that type of thing. The lady was in a container and she didn't know whether to go out of the container or not. Because I listened to all of them. It's really great.
Tell us where we can hear your music and find out about the Hackets.
Our music is currently on Apple iTunes. We are on Deezer, Spotify, and we are on Bandcamp. Yes, if you want to know any more information, go to the Hackett's Facebook page, HACKETS. Watch the video of I Love to Travel on YouTube.
Thank you, Peter, for your time and good luck in the future.
But thank you for the opportunity. All the best to Carousel at this time. Bye.
That was Peter Tolhurst, who is a singer, songwriter and guitarist with the Melbourne-based band The Hackets. Keep up to date with The Hackets on Facebook, Bandcamp and Spotify. Hackets is spelled HACKKETS. That's HACKKETS. The Hackets are part of the Footscray Community Arts Centre Art Life programme in Melbourne, Australia. To find out more about their projects, visit footscrayarts.com.
Carousel Radio.
That's the end of the show. In the next show, we will have another Tales from Unreality as part of our series of free radio plays exploring sci-fi and magical realism themes written and acted by learning disabled artists. Thanks to Sam Castle Ward for his play, as well as all of the actors and technicians who made it possible. Thanks to Peter from Melbourne for the interview and music from The Hackets. For more information on Carousel projects, visit carousel.org.uk or check our social media feeds at Carousel Arts UK. We'll be back with a new show at the beginning of August. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.